Good morning, Mountain View. Glad we can all be here together this morning. It's always special when we can observe communion together. Before we get into God's Word, let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can be here today. We thank you for just where you've placed us at. We thank you for just placing us here in the body of Christ. Thank you for each person that's here, Lord. We know that you've given each of us a role and a calling and gifting to just carry out the ministry that you have for us here, to build up your body, to glorify you. God, we pray as we're digging into your word today, God, I pray that we will come with hearts that are open to receive your word, that you will be changing our hearts, changing our lives through this. God, I pray that you would be drawing us closer to yourself, revealing more of yourself to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So welcome, everyone. My name is Ben Fitzgerald. I'm the family discipleship pastor here. I'm one of the elders. So I've been in youth ministry for 9 or 10 years now, and one of the questions that you sometimes have in youth ministry is, how many leaders or how many adults do you need for every youth that is in the ministry? And if you look at the research, there's different people have different opinions on it. But there was one study done by an organization, and they came away with it saying it should be a 5-to-1 ratio. So they came forward this research, and they said that when students graduate from high school, they go off to college, and they really have to decide for themselves whether they're going to go to church or not. The students that had 5 adults in their life who spiritually were investing in them over the course of their childhood and teenage years, those students were significantly more likely to continue to grow and mature in their faith and to be an active part of a church. So the 5-to-1 ratio is 5 adults to every 1 child. And this is really the story that I see in my life when I look at my childhood and when I was in high school and when God was really growing me in my faith to go and make it my own. I see many people who invested in my life, many adults who cared about me and who invested in me spiritually. One of the people was my ag teacher. He was just a teacher at school, but he was very outspoken about his faith, and he was someone who was a big encouragement to me to live out my faith at school. Another person who was a big encouragement to me when I was younger was just a farmer that went to our church. And he just made his farm available to us when we were youth. He had horses, and he would come there. He would invite us out there, and we'd ride horses with him. He'd just teach us things about life, about working, a lot of valuable just life skills. And he would always he'd always make it centered on the Lord as well. We'd have devotionals, and just his family would have Bible studies at their house. So I just had a group there that really invested in me spiritually. And many of y'all here invested in me spiritually when I was younger. Many of y'all were Sunday school teachers and Bible school teachers and babysat and just were here spiritually supporting me in my walk. And also in youth group, the youth leaders had a really big impact on me as well. And even parents who helped with the youth group, they were there and they were spiritually investing in me as a youth. So when I look at my story, I see the 5-to-1 ratio playing out, and I see the impact that it had on me. And this is what we see throughout Scripture, is that God calls his church to disciple the next generation. God calls his church to disciple the next generation. So the passage that we're going to be looking at today is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Please stand for the reading of the word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. So, right here, this passage that we just read, this was a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy. So we know quite a bit about Timothy when we look at the New Testament. Timothy, he was a young man who traveled with Paul in his ministry. And we see that he had a pretty big part in the early church. He was an elder at the church in Ephesus, which is pretty prominent in the New Testament scripture. We see that there's many, many mentions of that church in the New Testament. And we see that Timothy, he traveled around with Paul, ministering with him. He was somebody that Paul trusted and who Paul had invested in a lot. So we see that Timothy, he was a young man that had adults and the church really invested in him. And because of what the church had invested in him, he was able to serve God, and he had a faith that was strong. So in this passage, we see that we're looking at this point, that God calls his church to disciple the next generation. So when we're looking at that, we have to ask the question, why is it important to invest in the next generation? And why would it be important for our church to really take that seriously? So one of the reasons that it's important for our church to take this call seriously is that our church has a lot of children and teens here. We're blessed to have a church with many young people here that they need the church to be investing in them. It's important because our children, they are taking in the world. They're seeing a lot of new things. They're learning how to feel, how to taste. They're learning how to walk, how to talk. That's the road of maturity, where children, they're born not able to do anything for themselves. Humans are not like tadpoles. A frog, they'll lay their eggs in a mud puddle and they'll leave, and the tadpoles, they'll do their thing and grow into frogs. But God made people so that children, they need to be nurtured, they need to be protected, they need to be provided for, and they need their parents to really invest in them and help them to mature in order to live productive lives. And children are like sponges. They're taking in the world around them. And they are going to be discipled because they're learning how to live this life. The question is, who are they going to be discipled by? Because we live in a world that is opposed to the gospel. It's opposed to God. And it will disciple your children if you don't. And it will gladly impart its values to our children. Another reason that it's important for us to disciple the next generation is because each of you has a faith to pass on to others. Each of you has, God has given a faith, and he's given a relationship with him, and you can pass that on to others. When we look in the passage here in 2 Timothy, we see Paul says, "I thank God whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience." So Paul, he is remembering how his forefathers served God. And when we look at ourselves as a church, as Mountain View, we are not here because one day we just woke up and said, oh, we want to go and serve God and start a church. We're here because Paul discipled Timothy. Then Timothy, he went and discipled others. And we have this legacy of faith that goes from the apostles where they discipled the next generation, and that's where we are today because of that chain of discipleship over the past 2,000 years. And another reason it's important for us to disciple the children, the youth in our church, is because they are part of our church today. They're not, it's not like they're going to be part of the body of Christ when they graduate high school. But they're here and they're part of the body of Christ. And just like you have a gifting and have a part to play, the children, they have a part to play as well. And also, they are the future of our church. They're the present and the future. So we're going to look at this passage and we're going to see who is involved in discipling the next generation. Who is involved in discipling this next generation? Because in this passage, we see different people that are participating in that. So when we're looking at this passage, we see in verse 5, Paul says, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." So we see that Timothy, he had a grandmother who was faithful to the Lord, who had faith, who passed it on to her daughter, who passed it on to Timothy. So grandparents, you have an important role to play in passing on the faith to the next generation. And many of you here today are grandparents. And I see many of you here today spiritually investing in the next generation. I see one of the big ways that grandparents can invest in the next generation is to pray for them. I think there's many, many grandchildren who know the Lord because they had grandmothers that were faithful in prayer. There are many people here today who know the Lord because they had grandfathers who pointed them towards the Lord. And we see that especially is important to have grandparents that are faithful to point their children towards the Lord when the parents are not spiritually in the picture for one reason or another. And that was the case for Timothy. We see that in Acts chapter 16, Paul is talking about Timothy's parents, and it says that his mother was a believer and his father was a Greek. So from that, it can be inferred that Timothy's father was not a believer. So Timothy, he did not have a biological, his father was not a spiritual leader in his house in that way. So his grandparents were important in that. Another group of people that is very important to in the discipling of the next generation are parents. And this is the way that God made for children to be discipled. He made it so that kids need their parents. Kids have to spend time with their parents. If children don't have a mother that raises them, then a child cannot survive without the nurturing of the mother. So, and that's the same way spiritually, is that God made families to disciple their children. And that is the role of the parents. That's the primary discipler of the kids are the parents. And we see that throughout Scripture. We see in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where it's in giving instructions to Israel, and it's telling them, talk about this law with your children daily as you go down the road, as you're going through everyday life. And parents, you have this calling on your life to disciple your children. We see that Timothy had a mother who walked through the scriptures with him. Another group of people that we see are important in discipling the next generation is the church itself as a whole. We see in verse 2, Paul addresses Timothy. He says, to Timothy, my dear son. So Timothy did not have a father that was walking in the Lord with him. But we see that Paul, he spiritually adopted Timothy. Paul addresses Timothy as his dear son. And as the church, we can bring children into our spiritual families who don't have believing parents. We can be walking with them in the Lord. And I think that this is just a way that God brings the orphans into his family. So the final group of people that we see are involved with discipling the next generation. We see in verse 6 where Paul says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So here, Paul is telling Timothy for him to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in him. So this isn't, the discipling of the next generation is not just something where the parents are doing it to the kids and the kids are just sitting there receiving it, but it's something where the next generation has a role in receiving that and running with it. Taking the spark of the faith that your parents pass on to you, fanning it into flame to have a fire of your own for the Lord. So youth and children here, you have to take what your parents have given you and make it your own. They can pass on the spark to you, but you have to fan it into flame and allow it to grow in your own heart. You can't live off of your parents' faith for the course of your life. So now that we see who is involved with discipling the next generation, we can also look in this passage to see what that discipleship looks like. We see in verse 3, Paul says, I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I continually remember you in my prayers. We see that Paul, he had a praying heart for Timothy. It says that he continually remembered Timothy day and night in his prayers. And I know that our church has parents, grandparents, spiritual parents that pray for the children, that pray for the youth here. And I want to encourage you, that is something that we see in Scripture as something that is part of discipling the next generation, being faithful in prayer. And Paul doesn't just say, I pray for you once a week. He says, night and day, I continually pray for you. So this is something that is constant, something that is close to your heart, where you care about the children so much that you are continually going to the Lord for them in prayer. We see he says in verse 4, recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. We see two ways in this verse that we can be involved in discipling the next generation. One is to have a heart that cares for the next generation. Have a heart that loves them. We see that Paul says, recalling your tears, I long to see you. He has a longing to see him, to be filled with joy. And it is something that fills you with joy to be around kids. It's something that brings life. It's something that brings vitality. And it's something that really God uses to bring new life into the church. So it's something that you love the next generation. The other thing that we see is spending time with them. Children need people to spend time with them. Teenagers need people to spend time with them, to invest in them. And parenting is not something where you can just make sure your kids have meals and then just let them run free. Like, you can do that, but are they going to grow into men and women of character who are going to really be living to their full potential? They need direction. They need people that care about them, that spend time with them. It takes time to raise children in the Lord. It takes attention. And if you turn a couple chapters forward in chapter 3, we're going to do a little bit extra here. Chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Paul says, he's talking about Timothy. "And how from infancy you have made known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for training, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So Paul encourages Timothy by reminding him that from the time he was a baby, he had been taught the Scriptures. That's not something that Paul did. That's something that his parents did. His parents taught him the Scriptures since he was a baby, an infant. So that's another way that discipleship looks like in the church for the next generation, is filling their lives, their minds, their ears with God's Word. And if you want a story to read to your child before bed, like, read the Bible. If you want to teach your child how to read, like, you can get like a children's Bible and have them read Scripture. If, like, teaching them the Scriptures from the time they are a child, because this is the Word of God. This is how the next generation is going to be able to stand firm against the deceptions and the lies of the enemies, by knowing God's Word. Now, going back to the chapter 1, another way that we see discipleship being played out in this chapter is in verse 5. He says, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Timothy's grandmother and his mother, they had faiths of their own to pass down. And that's something that you see sometimes, is when a couple has a child, then they start going to church again because they're like, we need to have our child in church. We want to raise our child in church. And that's good, to want to raise your child in the Lord, to want them to be part of the body of Christ. But you can't just hope to bring your child to church and have them raised in the Lord there. They need that direction at home by their parents. When your parents have a faith of their own, then that is going to be passed down to their children. So one of the best things that you can do to encourage your child in the Lord is for you to have that loving, alive, and vibrant relationship with the Lord. Because when you have that, then the things that are underneath you are going to flourish. And finally, we see in verse 6 that discipleship of the next generation looks like the next generation accepting that direction from the church and that calling and growing the flame that has been given to them. Verse 6 says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan in the flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." So from 1 Timothy chapter 1, I mean 2 Timothy, we've seen that God calls his church to disciple the next generation. So this leaves us with this question: how can we walk this out as Mountain View? How can we do this as a church? And I want to encourage y'all that our church is already doing this. We just had Bible school. Like I said, I had more than 5 adults who spiritually invested in my life at this church. And I want to encourage y'all, like, our church is already doing this. But I just want to help y'all to see how important it is and to take it seriously, because this is something that we can still grow in as a church. And I have a few things that we can do to walk this out in a deeper way with the Lord. And the first is for each of you to have a faith of your own. Each of you to have a faith of your own. Whatever stage of life you're at. So even if you don't have kids, even if you're single, even if you don't have kids at this church, God still has a purpose for you in discipling the next generation. And if you have a faith of your own, then you're going to be able to walk that out. So if you don't know the Lord, if you don't have that relationship with the Lord, then you can have that life that comes to Him, that forgiveness, that freedom. And that comes by giving your life to Jesus. Now, another thing that you can do, we can do as a church, is to pass on what we have learned. In chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the things that you have heard me say, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." He tells Timothy, "I have taught you, now you go and teach others so that they can teach others." We see four layers of discipleship in this verse, where Paul teaches Timothy, Timothy is to teach other men, and the other men are to teach others. So we can pass on what we have learned to others. So practically what that looks like is if in your devotional time in the morning, God shows you something from a scripture, talk about it to your kids. If you have just had like, I don't know, just whatever God is showing you in your life, you can share that with others. You can share that with the next generation. You can share your testimony with others. And I think that is something really valuable that the grandparents, the older generation can do, is sharing stories of God's faithfulness with the younger generations. Because y'all have a lot of really good stories, and the kids, they love to hear stories. So y'all have share stories of what God has done with the next generation. Another way that we can walk this out as a church is for each family to disciple their children. It's good to bring your children to church on Sunday mornings, on Wednesday nights, but they need that every day walking with the Lord. They need to be able to see for themselves what a life in Christ looks like. And it may be daunting to be like, wow, I have these tiny humans that I'm supposed to show what the Lord looks like too. But it's just that faithful everyday walking with the Lord. And there's different things you can incorporate into your daily rhythms that will make that possible. And that can be just having a daily Bible reading time with your family, where maybe after a meal or before you go to bed, you just come together as a family and read a passage of scripture. Or you could have like a devotional book that you do with that, maybe Daily Bread, or there's other devotions that you can have. And if you have younger kids, you can find like children's stories from the Bible that you can share with them as well. It's important for your family to pray together. Parents, you can pray with your children, not just pray for them, but pray with them. Teach your children how to pray. You can protect your kids in your home, because there's a lot in this world that is against God, that is against the message of Christ. And there is a role of the parents, especially the fathers, to protect what is coming into your home, what is on your TVs, what's on their screens, what they're taking in. This is something that is a calling for the parents, especially the father, to protect their families. You can help your children to grow and mature so that they can have families of their own. Because the way that God made families to work is that the children, they don't stay babies. They grow to be able, they need you for food when they're really young, but then they grow to be able to eat other food that's not milk. And supposed to get to the point where they can find food for themselves to eat. They can have a job and work for themselves. And the goal is for them to be able to be so mature and independent that they can feed others. Not that, so they go from ones that are receivers to ones that are givers. So the goal is for your children to mature, to have families and disciples of their own. Now, the final way that we as a church can walk this out is to build relationships with those in the church. Build relationships with those who are in the church. A lot of times in church, it's easy to say, oh, well, Luann is the Sunday school teacher, so she's the one who, she's like investing in the kids. And Luann is really important as a Sunday school teacher. Or you say, oh, Ben is the youth leader, so Ben is the one who's like spiritually investing in the youth. But if we change our perspective where each one of us has something to give to the next generation, has something to spiritually contribute, then we can see that it's not just like the church isn't just segmented. We're a family. And I see this happening already. Helen, hi on live stream. I see we had the youth at Helen's during Bible school, and she just said something really touching to the youth that were there. She was like, if y'all ever need anything, if you ever need somebody to talk to, somebody to pray with you, you come to my house and I'm right here. I see another person that I see doing that is Melissa, just at the school as a teacher. Like, she's at school and she's walking out her faith there. And I've seen children and teenagers at the school who are encouraging their faith, who have made big steps in their faith because Melissa has been there as somebody who is claiming the name of Jesus. And I see the men's and women's ministry at our church have just been places where I see intergenerational ministry a lot. So I just want to encourage you as a church, make that part of what you do here to interact with the younger people in the church. And this is another thing that I wanted to present to the church. I wanted to invite you in to do that. So as a youth group, we are blessed with many youth in our church. We have many young people in our church who need that 5-to-1. They need adults who are investing in their lives. And we have people here who are committed to doing that. Amanda, she does amazing with the middle school. And me and Sterling are working with the high schoolers. But we need more people that are committed to investing into the youth. And we have a lot of fifth graders coming into sixth grade this upcoming year. I don't know, how many is it?
Eight.
Yeah, we have a lot coming up this year. So this is my call to the church, where we can like put some rubber on the road, is I'm asking for people from the church who have a heart for the youth, who want to invest in the next generation, who want to pray for the youth, to be investing time into them, to commit to doing that. And I have some papers printed out on the sign-up table out there. It's the position is called a youth sponsor. So what this is I don't have the thing in front of me, but basically what it is we're asking for people in the church who will commit to praying for the youth daily, showing up to one event every season. So if they play softball, baseball, showing up to one game, and having one point of contact with them outside of church every week. That's the three things that we're asking for. And the other thing is to come to a monthly youth leaders meeting to be able to pray for the youth, to encourage one another, to be able to, so that the youth ministry can have ears and have people, boots on the ground, that are involved in the youth's lives. So we're looking for youth sponsors who are willing to do that. And in that, there would be more opportunities if you wanted to be more active with participating in events, leading things in other ways as you're gifted. But those are the three things that we're asking you to commit to is praying, showing up, and reaching out. So there's the ministry description papers out there on the table. You can pick it up if that's something that's interested in. But even if you're not doing it in that official capacity, you can still be doing that as just a member of the church here. So, like I said, we're just really blessed to have so many youth here and people who are investing in them. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can be here today. We thank you for those who have passed on the faith to us. We thank you for your love for us, for your faithfulness. God, we pray that you'll just be protecting the youth and the children in our church, that you'll be helping them to grow and mature in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.